Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, names are important. They are individual designations, distinctions by which we are known to others. Names identify us. The Bible often speaks about the name of God, or does, as our text for this morning does, the name of Jesus Christ. The phrase name of Jesus Christ signifies that which identifies this man from Nazareth. And according to context, what identifies him can be more than simply the vocables Jesus Christ. Rather, the phrase name of Jesus can also denote, and here is where the emphasis lies in these verses from Acts, that which reveals exactly who Jesus is, his character, essence, and work. In other words, the name of Jesus is the gospel. Our text very clearly brings out the importance of the name of Jesus. We already know why this name is so important, but the Acts passage leads us to review two essentials of our Christian faith. First, believing this name, people have salvation. And second, believing this name, people have the power to do God-glorifying works. The name of Jesus, the gospel, reveals Jesus to us, that he is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the incarnate deity, who as the God-man was the substitute for every person in this world's history. He lived a perfect life for everyone, and bearing the sins of all humanity, died on a cross. We are very familiar with the details of the story. The rulers and elders of the Jewish people had decided that Jesus must die. These religious leaders are the very men Peter addresses in our text. He and John, having been brought before them after Peter healed a crippled man at a gate of the Jerusalem temple. These rulers and elders had Jesus arrested. They falsely accused him. They brought him to Pilate demanding his execution, and they stirred up the people to cry out for Christ's crucifixion. As a result, Jesus was nailed to a cross. Of course, that was part of God's plan. By his suffering and death, Jesus paid fully for the sins of the whole world. Christ was placed in a tomb, but God raised him from the dead, thereby indicated that he fully accepted Christ's self-sacrifice for mankind. Peter therefore tells these rulers and elders, "You crucified Jesus Christ of Nazareth, but God raised him from the dead." In our text then, when Peter says there is no other name under heaven which has been given among men by which we must be saved, this name, the name of Jesus, is the gospel, that which reveals Christ's essence and work. To believe in Jesus means to believe his name. Through this name, the Holy Spirit enabled us to believe the truth, and he keeps us believing. Through this faith, Peter reminds us we have salvation. As sinners and left to ourselves apart from Christ, we were destined for damnation. While the immediate cause of Christ's suffering and death was the plotting of the Jewish elders and rulers, the ultimate cause was our and the rest of mankind's wickedness. It was in part to pay for our trespasses that Jesus went to the cross. But trusting the name of Jesus, holding to the gospel, grasping Christ in faith, we have forgiveness for all of our sins. We, by God's grace, have everlasting life. So, salvation is bound up with the name of Jesus. Our text, though, emphasizes still further the importance of the gospel. Believing this revelation is the only way to be saved. Jesus, the God-man, is the only Savior of the world. Spiritual deliverance is possible only in connection with Christ, and thus all who desire salvation must embrace in faith his name, That which tells us who he is and makes known his redeeming work. We are well aware of how this teaching of our text and other passages in Scripture is attacked today. Atheists ridicule faith in Christ. Those who belong to religious groups outside of the Christian church strongly object to the proclamation that one is saved only through the name of Jesus. These attacks from outside the church have been and are fierce. But as one evangelist has noted, they have often proved disguised blessings that have purified and strengthened congregations. History knows an insidious and more effective way of keeping down the truth. When attacks come from within the external, visible church, such attacks are carried on by the modern minimizer of the gospel, who, as Francis Patton describes, takes a few tablets of doctrine, dissolves them in a gallon or two of the rose water of sentimentality, puts a little in an atomizer, and sprays the congregation to an accompaniment of the sweetness of Christianity and the fragrance of a benevolent life. Such attacks are the polite, politically correct pulpit denials of Christ as the only savior of the human race. Such attacks are led by so-called Christian theologians who state that there are many roads to heaven, that the mature Christianity of the 21st century no longer teaches that the gospel is the only saving truth. This teaching is now regarded as obsolete and intolerant. We ask, would those same theologians call the physician intolerant who hands a deathly ill patient the only remedy for his disease and pushes aside all mistaken cures? Jesus says, "I am the way. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Our text encourages us, hold fast to the name of Jesus and reject any other teaching concerning salvation. Acts 4 also reminds us of another reason the name of Jesus is so important. Believing this name, a person has the power to do God-glorifying works. Through faith in this name, Peter healed the crippled man. When he and John are brought before the rulers and elders of the Jewish people for questioning, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, announces, "It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this man stands before you completely healed." These religious leaders had wanted to get rid of Jesus by having him crucified. But now here is Peter before them announcing that Jesus has arisen from the dead. What is more, the man who was formerly crippled is there standing before their very eyes, healed through faith in this name. Through faith in the name of Jesus, we also have the power to do God-glorifying works. In the early days of the Christian church, in the time of the apostles, God chose to let the apostles perform miracles to aid in the growth of the church. After the days of the apostles, God, for the most part, chose other methods to help increase the number of believers. Today, it is not very likely that you or I will perform miracles. However, we can still lead, and we will lead, lives which are abounding in God-glorifying works. The name of Jesus, again, reveals Jesus to us. Through faith in this name, we are united with Christ, with Christ's power coming to us through his word and sacrament. We can resist temptation, conquer sin, and bear much fruit for the Lord. One example, believing the name of Jesus, we are empowered to speak forth the gospel truth. There is no greater work than this. Let us therefore proclaim the name of Jesus as the opportunities arise. Proclaim salvation in connection with this name. Proclaim salvation only in connection with this name. united with Christ, we will do so humbly, lovingly, yet also boldly, courageously, as did Peter before the religious leaders. Our text is giving us encouragement to keep on hearing and studying the name of Jesus, the gospel, so that through this means, our faith will be strengthened, we will grow in our knowledge and understanding of the gospel, and we will be motivated and strengthened to be witnesses for Christ. Through his name, Christ equips us to be his ambassadors. This name is the most important name. Through it, we have the greatest gifts, tremendous spiritual blessings. God be praised for giving us the name of Jesus. In his name, amen.